Thank you. And here we have a India session. And India is like a paradox, always. Like on one side, there are states like Kerala or Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, which are showing very good performances in terms of all demographic and other health indicators, whereas states like northern states like Uttar Pradesh or Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, all are showing the other end of the spectrum. So that's what we are seeing now, that very good innovations are also happening in India, as well as already some states are in a very, very far ahead of different goals. So I would like to thank my co-authors also. And this is a project which was ended in just a few months back in June. So I'm going to explain the actual how the social franchising, the process, the results, and everything. So this is a completed project result. As usual, disclosure. Yeah, Uttar Pradesh is in the northern part of the country, which got 199 million population. If you take Uttar Pradesh as a separate country, which is the fifth largest country in the world, its almost population is equal to Brazil. Brazil population is only 200 million. So Uttar Pradesh must have crossed now. So Uttar Pradesh is such a huge, big state. And USAID India is working in India for the last many years. And this is one of their projects, implementation plan, that there is a this project was ended in 2012 June, as I said, started from 2005, 7 years long project. It's called IFPS. It is Innovations in Family Planning and Services, IFPS, and which is one of the largest USAID programs in all over the world on family planning. And the Futures Group was taken, it's one of the components called Technical Assistance. So it is called ITAP. And the main, main objectives of this ITAP work was to test the innovative models and try it in the field and scale it up later and disseminate the results. This was one of the major objectives of this ITAP work. So under this project, ITAP, I mean IFPS as well as ITAP project, we worked in three states, Uttar Pradesh, Uttarakhand, and Jharkhand. And this social franchising network we created in Uttar Pradesh. So this is the why it was created in Uttar Pradesh, because of these reasons. That is, 87% of the total health expenditure in Uttar Pradesh is in private sector. It is happening out of pocket expenditure. And very out of 87%, 92.5% is completely from out of pocket expenditure. It is, and UP got very high MMR, maternal mortality rate of 440, and infant mortality rate of over 70, and TFR for total fertility rate for UP in the rural areas was 4.13 as per the National Family Health Survey. And very high unmet need also, you can see as the data shows. And there is a huge shortage of manpower in the state under the public sector. About 11% of the population cannot access the government services because of this shortage of manpower. And private health care relatively low. But its quality and regulation is a bit of concern. And what we did under this social franchising project as a startup, like we organized an international workshop in the state, and we invited all the experts on the social franchising activity and designed a social franchising model for the state. And after that, we prepared the RFP, that is the request for proposals. We made it public, and several people, I mean organizations, applied for that, and prepared the EOI, expression of interest, and advertised widely. After that, we obtained the technical advisory group approval. There was a technical advisory group which was offshoot of this international workshop, and selected this one agency for this social franchising. And we modified this project proposal and budgets with the discussion of that selected agency, and conducted cost analysis of the project. Again, we took the that selected agency, and we had a series of discussions with that selected agency on the cost point, and launched the social franchising with the help of CIPSA. CIPSA is it is a state agency which is very famous in India. That's why it is a short name here. CIPSA is a society which is an under MOU has been signed between USAID and Government of India, and created this society, registered society. This society manages the fund flow and the overall program in the state. So in 2007, this social franchising activity, this model was launched. This is the Hindi word for that marigold. It is the branding was registered, and it was widely publicized in the state. And you can see the social franchising was developed as an innovative and sustainable for profit PPP model, because we are inviting private clinics and private people onto the network. So obviously they will look for small profit. So this is a for-profit and PPP model. And this is obviously it is deliver the maternal and family maternal health care services as well as the family planning services at the but below the market price. So some of the fundamentals what we need to see is a business format approach, sustainability through innovations, like this, because there is a joining fee in the network. So obvious again, apparently people, network partners will look for the some sort of profit and some sort of assistance from the network. So there is a joining fee. If you want to join in that network, so there is an initial amount you have to pay. Then, in turn, this MGHN, that network who manages that network, they will provide the like trainings. They will provide the other logistical support to that clinics. So. Market research and fundamental to future growth of the network, because this network, those who are joining into the network, they want to see what is the future growth and what is their profit side and what are all their benefits. So these are all we explain to them. And building the brand, it is just beyond that logo. It is not that you put up that logo and sleep, not like that. It should be like beyond that logo, you should take care of the quality, you should take care of the services, you should take care of the clients which you are getting through this network. So this is basically a spoken wheel approach, that there are three tier system, like L1, L2, L3. L0 is starting with a very very high level. That is, at the state level, only two clinics are identified as L0, which is called Center for Excellence, okay, which got a very specific tasks and specific qualities. Then L1s are at a district level, and of which they call it as a Marigold Hospitals, okay. and which got like L1s will have like 20 bedded, there are certain criteria, like they should have 20 bedded at least clinics, and they should have a OT with that attached to that clinic, and full time doctor by 24/7, then like emergency OBG care, these type of services should be available in that Marigold. Then only that that will give us a Marigold stamp. Second level is at the block or even at the certain district, which are far off district, which are almost like a block constituency, which has got the next level that is called Mary Silver. So Mary Gold and Mary Silver. So there are it's outside that main district center, a few kilometers away from the district center. These clinics will be identified, and criteria is like a 5 to 6 bed facility and doctor, basic BMOC sort of facilities, services they need to provide, and some FE services. These are their criteria to include, to be included in the L2 category. And L3s are at the village level. They are basically the Meritarang members. It is used to be the grassroots level workers, who their major role is to create the demand, get the people from villages to this, either to the L2 facilities or to the L1 facilities. So we created throughout this 5-year period, we created about 67 L1s and 367 L2 clinics, and more than 10,000 MTM, that is the village level people, were in the network. So the salient features of this network is low cost but very high volume and very quality services. And pricing is almost 50 to 60% lower than the market price. And we created, though it was initially it was like a family planning services, but we created a various basket of services, MCH, RCH, or even with the inclusion of family planning services. And revenue generation, because of this Meritarang, people will be working at the grassroots level, they will generate the demand, and people will come to the L2 first, or if that is not manageable at the L2 level, then they will be referred to the higher level at the L1 levels. And MGHN brand, we like visual, very visually identifiable across the state because of its very marigold flower looks very bright. And core consumer benefit is like better health in a quality services with a low price. So in a due course of time, we rebranded it with a modified brand image logos we were inserted as per the time goes on. And this was widely publicized across. These were all different wall paintings or boards and everything. And so this all the partners in this network got a clear-cut roles and responsibilities. Like those who are franchisees, they need to undergo extensive training. And L2 level franchisees also, orientation and subsequent trainings they need to undergo. And referral network partners, they need to go again social marketing sort of trainings and orientations. Very stringent quality assurance we followed. This CARES is like we developed a quality assurance that is called clients have to be like very courteous, attentive, respectful, enthusiastic, and safe. This is that CARES stands for. So that protocol we developed, and we give an extensive training to all the network members, and accredited by the franchisers. And this all the quality, and we repeatedly conducted all the periodic reviews we used to conduct, and we conducted the client satisfaction surveys, and medical audits we conducted for the consistent improvement in the quality of services, and regular analysis of franchisee data, which we used to get it, and lastly, we used to have client exit interviews as well. So, already talked about some of the achievements, running through. We had a proven products and services through this MGHN network, and we successfully linked with the government schemes, which are all JSV, that is the Janani Suraksha Yojana, that is the maternal benefit the government is giving for the below poverty line people. And RSBY is a Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana. It's a sort of insurance scheme for all, again, to the catering to the BPL family. So these are service output from October through February 2012. And we have generated almost CIP, couple of years of protection, about more than 100,000. So we built a very strong base of this because UP, Uttar Pradesh state got only 72 districts, and out of that about 67 districts got L1 network. So you can see the range of. So some of the take-home messages. What we learned was that saturation, but don't spread too thin. Like you cannot all of a sudden, because see, you can see this is over the last 5 years we did this work, and we just reached that 67 out of 72 districts. So our primary learning was that don't spread out thin, but it should be very concentrated, and you pluck the long-hanging fruits. And base pricing is not go for the minimum price, but go for the average price. Because many of our network partners left because of that, we priced it as a very low price. But then we realized that, okay, it should be an average price. And diversify your services. Don't stick to only one sort of like family planning services. You give a basket of services, choices. And ensure the availability and affordable services by regulating the private people. Yes. So I reached the last slide. Okay, thank you.
Could I invite the other speakers up, please, as well? Thank you very much. It's always difficult to give a good quality product at low price. So it's interesting to hear that. Now, all four speakers are going to come up, and we'll have lots of time for questions. So, I open it up. Talk.
Yeah, government.
Can you hear all right?
In India, government got several schemes, as I mentioned in that presentation, JSY. It is the scheme provided to pregnant women who can deliver at the institutional delivery. They will be getting a financial incentive. Okay, so this that L3 level, which I shown that three categories, no? L1, L2, L3. L3 level people are Meri Tarang members. They are the grassroots level workers at the village level. Okay, and they will bring this pregnant woman to this accredited L1 or L2 facilities, and they deliver it. So when they deliver it, they will get the money. So these facilities are already accredited by this network, hence accredited by the government also. So government has got that option. Either they can go to public health care services or accredited private nursing homes. Yes.
Thank you. Most of the women who were enrolled were either inconsistent condom users, or they really weren't using anything, or just sort of a, I guess you might say, sort of a folk approach to avoiding sex on days they thought they might get pregnant. Is this question for me? I just want to be sure. Okay, and if I'm hearing you correctly, is how does this relate perhaps to condom distribution?
Well, when you had love a partner, would that be a conflict of what your messaging is, or
no, it's very supportive of it, actually. I think one of the issues around there are many issues when you're really trying to make something sustainable in a setting where family planning has so long been supported and subsidized, and that's just kind of the approach. When you think about it, in this country and most places, family planning is pretty much a subsidized service. It's not necessarily something that anybody is trying to make totally sustainable. USAID, for example, in India has been supporting family planning for 3 decades. And shown no sign of any let up. And the government of India also puts a tremendous amount of money into family planning, so a lot of it is subsidized. We've been charged by USAID of making this a self-sustaining service. Now, why that's the case, I guess we could debate that. But so that is what we're trying to do. And one piece of that is you have to think of what the different models are that could conceivably make it a self-sustaining service. And one of them is, of course, a subscription model in which women pay for the service on a monthly basis. Another model is an advertising model in which people or companies who want to sell a product, a related product, to this particular demographic might be interested in advertising on this system so that they would receive a message. For example, you're about to enter your fertile days, be sure you have condoms. So there might be some kind of an advertising message of that nature. Or menstrual hygiene products, that sort of thing. Any number of products that you might imagine would be appropriate for this demographic that would be a good filler message, not so that it's not just about using this method, but about how you can make this self-sustaining. So it's very appropriate to link up with condoms. The question is how? Because the condom is something that now they have to go out and get it. So does that mean they get some kind of maybe a perhaps a like a coupon, the equivalent of a coupon on their cell phone that they can then take to a place where they could purchase condoms and get them? Or, you know, how exactly would this work? And that, of course, is a whole other set of questions.
Thanks. That's an interesting point. You're right. Because there's a large number of pharmaceutical companies, and especially the smaller and mid-sized ones. There have been issues of quality. So we did a due diligence on various parameters in trying to select the right partner. Quality, but also the fact that a partner that would be interested in working in rural markets was another important criteria that we sort of looked at, because not every pharmaceutical company, large or small, is interested in going to rural markets. So that's an important criteria. But yes, we did do a due diligence, a proper due diligence, in ensuring that we were working with the right partner, both from a quality perspective as well as from the interest of the partner in doing something of the sort. Various mechanisms. It's distributed through the public health system as well, and that's distributed for free for the most part. But because of the huge gaps in the public distribution system, it's not usually available. And even if it is, there are quality issues. Even though these quality issues are more a perception, as in being really true, But you know, most of the as you would have seen in the presentations from my colleagues, that most people prefer purchasing products from the private sector. So even though they are available through the public sector, most people do go out to the public to the private sector to purchase their products. Oh, there are plenty of brands. There must be over 50 to 60 brands that are there in the market. And each state, so it's not as if you know, you have companies that are working at a national level. There would be companies that are working only in a particular state. You could even have companies that are working only in a part of a state. So there's various manufacturers. Yes, the partner we worked with, as I was trying to explain, has focused. Their business strategy is to focus on small markets, small towns, as against large towns. So, you know, that's when I was talking about their interest to work in such markets. Now, for a company that focuses itself on smaller towns, for them to go down to villages is not really that difficult, you know, because it's one tier down as against a larger company.
So what is the counter you can purchase from any chemist or any druggist?
It's over the counter.
Over the counter.
You don't need a prescription.
In Bangladesh, they actually teach women how to do it themselves in their own villages, so it's fairly easy to make with ingredients and measurements that they use at home.
And that's world's most successful ORT program or intervention by BRAC,
yeah.
Which sort of does it through the local mechanism.
Dr. Wilson, I wanted to ask you a question. If you had this to do over again, what would be the first thing that you would do different?
That's a good question. I think it is to listen more, to encourage our collaborators to speak their minds. I think that we find there's a difference. The intra-African culture is different than ours. And in America, we tend to have a more individualistic work ethic. And so if something goes wrong, we'll blame an employee, or we tend to ignore differences, cultural differences. Whereas in Africa, especially in, for example, Tanzania, it's more of a group culture. So nobody would ever complain about their boss or complain about a coworker. And so encouraging them to talk, my last slide said trust, trust, trust. And I think it's the building trust that we probably would have gotten things done much faster. But we're collecting the data now, right, a year later than we wanted to.
Yeah, as you see, we started that network in 2007, and we took almost 3 years for setting up all the, till we reached that 67th clinic or 67th district out of 72 districts. And we took the help of Ernst & Young for the your question, as we also raised that question to ourselves, like they call it as a break-even period, when you can get it as a self-sustaining model. Unfortunately, even after fifth year also, we didn't receive that, we didn't reach that level. So what happens now, the condition of the project is, it has been handed over to UP state government, and the UP state government is supporting that network. So it will take, so as per the study shows that, it will take another 1 year or 1.5 years more to get it that break-even period. To me, it is not clinic. It is nothing to do with clinic. It is like you want to get the clients from the rural market or rural areas.
So if the Marigold Clinic, are they reaching a
See, clinics are, we recruit from the private sector. I mean, we study that private clinic. I mean, study in the sense we evaluate that private clinic who is interested in joining that our network. We give them the training. We give all sorts of other supports. Then we ask them whether, okay, you are willing to join us. So there is a initial fee. So they will join us. Then they can run their own programs or their own activities side by side. This is just like there will be a board, that board which I have shown, and this is a MTM, that is the village level cadre people will generate the demand and they will take clients to or people to this clinic. That's it. But they have their own service practices, medical these things. They have that. They can do it parallelly. There is no conflict of. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it is yearly one joining fee, but for L1 like higher level it is a large amount, and for the L2s bit smaller amount. Okay, because L2 being the lower level block level category, so that is the thing. And L1s, like as I explained, they have their own number of patients. Plus, they are getting additionally from these MTM people. They generate the other big group of people. So that all this setup cost, quality maintenance, and all he can, or this service provider can easily make it as a profit. That is not an issue.
Most of that information actually comes from a more urban setting. Almost all of the women who were enrolled in that phase of the study were in a more urban setting. It's actually information that we're looking at right now, looking back further at what we need to do and also doing some further research on that. There was an early slide where I showed what was a value proposition, and basically I said that this is a method that doesn't have side effects, it's non-hormonal, that, you know, has many different, okay, so we found out other values that this has to people, that it's very, people like that it's very private, that it's, that they don't have to go anywhere and get something, you know, they really sort of appreciate that aspect of it. So the question is, how do you really build more value into the product? And one of the ways of building value also happens to dovetail well with one of the ways that you can actually make it more potentially sustaining, and that has to do with the advertising model that I was referring to. If people actually get something in addition to their family planning method, if they actually get, you know, for example, a discount on menstrual hygiene products or something of that nature, this is something that can add value within the product, with add value in that way. One of the other things that we've thought about that we've sort of come to recognize from some of the qualitative data that we have is, you know, when a woman receives, let's say, a family planning method, let's say she's getting oral contraceptives, she's having periodic visits with probably a provider, almost any level of provider, to resupply her with those pills. It might be one of the OSHA workers, or, you know, it just depends on what level of person it is and what program she's getting this from. But there's usually some kind of a bond between a provider and a consumer of a family planning method. And in this is a really impersonal kind of thing. So how can you really make this product something that is more personally meaningful to this woman? What other kinds of information can you offer her? How can you make it perhaps even more visually appealing to her? So these are some things that we're looking at, so that, you know, so that the person can really, perhaps my colleagues here who work in India who I think are a little bit familiar with CycleTel in any case, might have some other ideas. But these are some things that we're exploring, and I think some of the partnerships that we'd like to form would help us explore some of these issues in more depth. I would just like to say that In addition to CycleTel, there are two other products that are quite related. One is called iCycleBeads, and it works well for women. It's an app that can be downloaded onto an iPhone or an Android. It costs $2.99 to download it, and now you have it forever. And that is a really visual, very visually appealing because of the capacity of the phone, so that you actually have a lot of imagery and things like that that make it much more interesting than just getting a text message, quite frankly. And another one is called iCycleBeads Online, which can be accessed by any device that can access the internet, including any kind of a smartphone. So, and this also is more visually appealing. Right now, we're focusing on CycleTel because I think it really has a specific niche and looking at ways to make it truly successful. But these other two opportunities are sort of in the offing as well. I mean, they're available. The technology's there. They're available in the marketplace. You just go to cyclebeads.com and you can find them and you can buy them and download them and you have it. But it's something that needs to be really thought about, I think. Right. Most of the work that we've done, the work that we did in UP was in Lucknow, and the other work has been in Delhi. So we really have not been attempting this in rural areas. One of the things that we are exploring is an IVR or an interactive voice response system that might be more appropriate to people in rural areas. But to tell you the truth, we're finding a lot of issues with that. To ask a rural woman who not only, I mean, think of how irritated you are when you call your bank and they say, if this, press 1, if that, press 2. By the time you get to 4, you think, well, forget it. I don't even want to do this. Well, somehow she still has to, and when she's enrolling for this service, she still has to respond to things. This is not an easy call. So we're looking at ways to sort of mitigate those kinds of concerns before we can even begin to think about doing this in a rural area.
I ask that of myself all the time. That's true, you know, because we've been, in my career, I've been dealing with a lot of products that are focused for rural markets, which includes starting from fertilizer, pesticides, to stoves and reading glasses, contraception, ORS. And I've always wondered why, somebody's not done this on his or her own and not selling millions of these. I think one of the biggest barriers, and I'm speaking more for a rural market, is just those three A's which people are not able to get over. It's this lack of awareness, in rural markets, lack of access. Access is a huge issue, and affordability. So there's, willingness to pay and ability to pay issues. Which exist, but getting to these markets is not easy. It's never been, large companies like Coke or Pepsi are able to do it, but a small manufacturer of any kind of product finds it extremely difficult to be able to create that kind of supply chain and mechanisms. Also, I feel that local manufacturers have sort of dominated. It's not as if people are not there. It's not as if, soap is not getting to rural markets. It's not as if people are not using, their daily consumables are not being provided to them. There are local manufacturers, there are local entrepreneurs, but they do not have the capacity to expand themselves beyond a district, forget about a state level. So, on the other end of the spectrum, there are people who are catering to these markets, but they do not have the capacity to take it at a national or even a state level. So I think those are the issues which a lot of people face.
I would add one more issue. I think those are really, really important ones, but I think another one that seems to me important is that family planning in particular, maybe we could even say most preventive health services or products, are sort of push products. You know, if you want people in rural areas to use cell phones, I mean, just take them out there. They're going to grab them up. You know, it's like people want that. It's a pull product. But when you have something that people might be, you know, reluctant to spend, resources are scarce. And people are busy, you know, they're very engaged in doing their daily things and just living their lives and surviving. So the idea that somebody is going to take some of their scarce resources and some of their scarce time and go to purchase a preventive health product, including family planning, it's a leap. It's a leap for people. So I think those are other things. It really requires a tremendous amount of social mobilization behind it. A lot of public support, public sector support, one way or another, donor support, whatever you want to call it, to really create the social norm, the culture in which such a thing becomes normative behavior. Like if you were not using family planning, it would be weird. You know, that's just not the case. It hasn't happened. So, and it's a long way from happening.
Just to add last point, maybe, like, India family planning, generally communities are considering that as a government take. Government should provide. So that mentality is still hanging on, like, especially to the rural community, that family planning services, okay, that is a government should provide, or A&M should provide, or ASHA should provide, or primary health center should provide. I'm not going to buy from our medical shop or this thing. That is not my duty or not my cup of tea. That should be provided by government. So that, again, that mindset also need to change. Then only it will be like... And regarding the models, this thing, there are several, as I started my presentation, India is land of paradox as well as many innovations. In South, you can see there is a Arvind Medical Care, Eye Medical Care, which is considered one of the best models exclusively for eye care, which got a wide, very good, strong network in South. And which is many studies and many evaluations are now showing it is a very good high quality, but with a very low prices. They have set up a very good network. So it is coming up. And another model I can remember is Bangalore. Sorry. Yeah. Maybe you can talk. Yeah.
And there's another presentation that's coming in. So let's thank all our speakers.
Thank you. Thank you.